Ah, when to the heart of man was it ever less than a treason to go with the drift of things, to yield with a grace to reason, and bow and accept the end of a love or a season. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah episode 124, The Long Winter and the Faith of the Musaf Prayer. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
The Long Winter is the title of a book by Laura Ingalls Wilder, one which I remember well from my childhood reading, part of the series in which the author describes her family's story as it journeyed from Wisconsin, from what she called the little house in the big woods, to Desmet, South Dakota. The Long Winter describes a snow-suffused season of many months in which her family, unable to receive supplies, was actually in profound peril and yet had the courage to see themselves through what she called the Long Winter. I would like us to think about another long winter as we ponder the mighty Musaf, Musaf being the title of the additional prayer added on Shabbat and the holidays. It is added to remember the additional offering in the temple on those days. But it does more than engage in commemoration. It concludes always with a prayer that the temple be restored, and with it, the offerings that reflect the sanctity of that moment in time. Thus, when it comes to our mitzvah for the day, which is the Musaf, the additional offering described in Numbers that is to be brought on the festival of Shavuot, we, standing in synagogue, not only remember that Musaf, that additional offering, we plead with the Almighty for its restoration. What this embodies, in other words, is a liturgical link of love to the temple in Jerusalem, ensuring that this extraordinary edifice would never be forgotten, that its memory would endure, and the hope for its restoration would never die. What does this have to do with the long winter? To understand this, we turn to a verse in Scripture which appears to embody a description of a physical feat, but interpreted midrashically, gives us a tale of intellectual, emotional, and spiritual strength. The verse appears at the end of the book of Samuel, describing David's most loyal soldier, a warrior by the name of Benayahu ben Yehoyada. Of him we are told, "Hu hikatari betoch habor biyom hasheleg," that he was so profoundly strong that he was able to engage in a wrestling match on a snowy day with a lion in a pit. This is, on the face of it, an illustration of his superb strength. Even when the cold would have made anyone weak, he was able to defeat a mighty beast. But the sages, in a remarkable midrash, suggested that the sentence could be interpreted symbolically as a description of an activity that is more than physical. Rather, it is a description of intellectual ability, that when it was difficult because of the cold to focus, Benayahu was still able to engage in a study of what is known as Sifra de Beirav, the laws of the temple. Now, of course, on the face of it, ostensibly this appears to be a surprising interpretation of this particular scriptural passage, because it is the description of a warrior and makes no explicit reference to the temple during the winter time. But it was Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik who suggested, in either an interpretation or an expansion of this midrashic passage, that one can read it as the sages speaking about themselves. What is being described is not even intellectual prowess, but actually extraordinary emuna, superhuman faith. One can read this, he said, as an expression of how even during the winter of Jewish history, during the coldest period of our exile, when the concept that the Jewish people would one day profoundly populate the Holy Land again would have seemed preposterous to most outside observers, and when the concept of the temple returning would have been seen as sheer fantasy, nevertheless, Jews still continued to long for the land of Israel and to pray for the temple's restoration, envisioning an age when obligations such as the Musaf, the additional offerings of the festival, would be observed once again. And because they would be observed once again, the laws pertaining to them needed to be studied year after year, century after century. And it needed to be remembered Shabbat after Shabbat, holiday after holiday, Shavuot after Shavuot. I recently came upon a lovely poem by Robert Frost, a poet that has been very much on my mind in recent days. Frost describes the end of autumn, and the fact that winter has clearly arrived. As he puts it, out through the fields and the woods and over the walls I have wended. I have climbed the hills of view and looked at the world and descended. I have come by the highway home, and lo, it is ended. So the poem begins. But then Frost concludes by saying that even as he knows that winter is here, he refuses to accept the fact that it has truly come. Even despite the fact that, as he puts it in the poem, the leaves are all dead on the ground, save those that the oak is keeping, to ravel them one by one and let them go scraping and creeping out over the crusted snow when others are sleeping. Despite all this, Frost says that it feels like a betrayal to give up on the season that has passed. He closes the poem as follows. Ah, when to the heart of man was it ever less than a treason to go with the drift of things, to yield with a grace to reason, and bow and accept the end of a love or a season. So he puts it. It is moving, but of course, all seasons must come to an end when we speak of spring or summer or fall or winter. But the story of the Jewish people is indeed a tale of men and women of faith who believed that it would be a betrayal to give up on a season in Jewish history in which the Jewish people lived in the Holy Land, worked its fields, celebrated holidays there, had sovereignty, and worshipped God on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They refused to give up on that season, and we are witness to the miracles of our age, where so many of these have occurred again. Yet we still pray the Musaf prayer, and as we consider the miracles that have occurred, we look forward to those that are yet to be. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.